Awesome day. Busy, busy day. Flying right through it. Nice to have you here. We go into our third and final hour. I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Let me shoot you a telephone number very quickly. On the back end of this, we got plenty of time. Open phones, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter, always, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We talked about Duke looking as good as they did last night. One move in the NFL, Dez Bryant to the Saints. Joining us to talk about the NFL is a writer for SI, Sports Illustrated, friend of the program. Still the very best player with a rat tail at the Art Monk football camp for 5 years running. Robert Klemko is my guest. Robert, great to have you back. How are you?
You're just never going to let that go.
I love it. How can I? It's like the best thing ever. And you earned that. You deserve credit for that. And I'm going to make damn sure you get that credit. You earned it. What's up, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Really good. Really good. So I think you have a great piece up right now in the Cleveland Browns on MMQB. And it starts with this anecdote from the Tampa Bay game a few weeks back. So let me start right there. Second and 26, Baker Mayfield runs for a 35-yard gain. Tampa safety Jordan Whitehead delivers a hat-to-hat shot. Mayfield jumps right up and gets right after Whitehead yelling, "Yeah, mother bleeper." So what about that moment right there? What does that say about Baker Mayfield?
Well, I think to his teammates, it said a lot, because those guys put a really high value on a quarterback who can step in there and go tit for tat with other teams and is as competitive as they all feel that they are. And I think that that's what they've got, and that's what they've learned about Baker Mayfield.
So they're learning more and more about him, and you've spent some time with him, so probably you were not surprised by that. I mean, when you look at this, and you've got, like, Devereaux Lawrence, a defensive lineman, saying, quote, "Baker's a dog. There are certain things that you can't teach dogs. There's a whole bunch of savages in here, but we've got one in a quarterback." He looked at him and told him, "Yeah, mother bleeper, everybody could read those lips." I mean, that's an amazing quote. When you've got a rookie quarterback getting that kind of love from a defensive teammate, how big is that?
Yeah, you know, Devereaux was one of the guys that went home and watched the film on his tablet. And all those guys, you know, they look at the film either that night or they get back there Monday morning. And that was something that a bunch of them talked about, just how competitive he is and how none of them would mind running through a brick wall for him. And you know, put aside the stuff he says off the field, which has all been tremendous, and how well he's played, you know, you could make the argument that he's the best rookie quarterback in the NFL right now among all those guys playing. But just the competitive nature, I think, is exactly what John Dorsey wanted when he was drafting a quarterback at number one overall. He wanted somebody who was going to fight through all the trash in Cleveland.
Robert Klemko joining us. So he wanted a competitive quarterback, but that trash you're talking about, I mean, I got to be honest, I'm not sure there's a more fascinating team than the Browns this season. When you look at what they've done, I mean, the roller coaster, the almost wins at the start of the year, that big win over the Jets, more close games, the firings of Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. In terms of Baker Mayfield, I know John Dorsey wanted a competitive quarterback, but did he factor in that potential dysfunction? Did that factor at all in his decision to take Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, when you talk to people that are close to John, I think he realized that, you know, Hugh Jackson's job wasn't guaranteed and that there was a possibility there was going to be a coaching change this year. I mean, you think that anytime you have a coach who's 1-31 going into a season in his last 2 years as head coach. So with Baker, I think they really like the fact that he did leave Texas Tech after being Big 12 Freshman of the Year and walk on at Oklahoma and earn that job and supplant some guys that were in line before him. So they saw that he knew how to fight through a situation that looked somewhat dire. He was an underdog kind of guy with an underdog mentality. And that's what you have to be the Cleveland Browns quarterback right now.
Robert Klemko joining us. I think most people around the NFL, Robert, would say that they looked at Hugh Jackson and they looked at Todd Haley. And they're like, how in the world is that going to work? So what was that relationship like during the season? And as things started to go south a little bit, how much attention was Jackson paying to what Haley said and what he did?
Yeah, you know, when it was announced that Todd Haley was going to be joining that staff and he was going to be taking over offensive play calling duties, I think most people who cover the league kind of scratch their heads, because those are two very different personalities, but two really headstrong guys. And I think we all wondered how it was going to work. And what happened was that Hugh basically absolved himself from all offensive responsibility, didn't even sit in for the install meetings for Todd Haley's offense in the spring and summer. And then over the course of the year, as the offense struggled, although not as much as it struggled last year with Hugh calling the plays, but as the offense, you know, struggled, to put points up and to capitalize on its incredible defense and all the turnovers they were producing. Hugh tried to insert himself into some of those meetings and to add some of his ideas. And from what I hear, Haley was pretty receptive to that. But there was a disconnect, not only between Hugh and Haley, but between Coach Jackson and the players, because a lot of those younger players, especially Baker Mayfield, didn't know anything about Hugh Jackson's offense. And I think they recognized that Hugh Jackson also didn't know much about Todd Haley's offense. It's a very bizarre situation. And it's always surprising to see a head coach and a coordinator fired at the same time. But I think this situation merited it.
Robert Klemko joining us. So in terms of that decision to fire both those guys at the same time, how much of that was about Mayfield and making sure that the tension between those guys did not wreck his future?
Yeah, you know, I think that they wanted to avoid assigning blame to one party and absolving another, or making it seem like they were scapegoating one person or the other. So if you get rid of Jackson, you got to get rid of Haley. If you get rid of Haley, you got to get rid of Jackson. They have a lot of confidence in Freddie Kitchens. You know, I think he's a dark horse to win that OC job next year if the next head coach they bring in is amenable to it, and obviously if that offense improves. But the big thing to me is that they need to create some sort of continuity and figure out some way to protect Baker Mayfield, because this entire season is a wash if he leaves with a season-ending injury. And the way that he's taken hits, not last week but in weeks prior to that, has been unacceptable.
We're talking to Robert Klemko. So what about Greg Williams? Nobody quite liked that guy. How different will they be under Greg Williams for the rest of the year? And is there any chance that he could get that job full time?
I don't think that there's a chance that he gets that job full time. I think the person that gets that job is going to be an offensive-minded head coach, or at least have connections around the league to some of the best offensive minds and have some relationships to where they can present to John Dorsey a plan to bring in an offensive coordinator that is really highly sought after in this league. With Greg Williams, you know, he comes in with that Bountygate reputation that's really hard to shake. I think a lot of people before he got the Cleveland job felt like a DC job has become a ceiling for him. And he hasn't shown as a head coach, you know, in this first game, or, you know, in talking to the media, that he's anything outside of his reputation, which is, you know, what a hard-charging, can be somewhat abrasive, crass guy. And maybe that's what the Browns need right now, but I don't think long-term that's what John Dorsey's looking for.
Yeah, I don't know that that's what he needs. I know that's what I need right now from a media standpoint. This guy's unbelievable. All right, so you mentioned what John Dorsey might be looking for. Then again, Robert, team owner Jimmy Haslam famously took the advice of a homeless person when it came to drafting Johnny Manziel. So is it a certainty that Haslam will take Dorsey's recommendation for a head coach?
No, you know, it wasn't a stipulation of Dorsey's coming to Cleveland that he have autonomy and be able to hire the head coach on his own. Jimmy Haslam wasn't offering that to any GM candidate. And he also made the choice to hire Hugh Jackson when members of his front office preferred either Sean McDermott or Matt Patricia. So, you know, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of John Dorsey settling on a head coaching candidate and Jimmy Haslam going another way. They're both going to be involved in that process. It's going to be a collaborative thing. And I think John's hoping that he has a little bit of leeway here, but you got to remember John Dorsey has never hired an NFL head coach. So in a sense, Jimmy Haslam has more experience with that than John Dorsey. Maybe his experience is pretty bad and his record is pretty awful, but he has the experience, so I think he feels like he knows what he's looking for.
We're talking to Robert Klemko. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns. He's got a piece up right now on that team on MMQB. So in the wake of that firing, one of the names, Robert, that comes up is Lincoln Riley. You've spent some time with Riley. How do you think that he would do as an NFL head coach, and is that something that you think might interest him at this point?
You know, I don't know that it would interest him. I know that he said that's not in the cards right now. I think the bigger question is, would John Dorsey be interested in bringing somebody up from the college ranks to try to change the culture of a program? I mean, Hugh Jackson got it started, and there were positive things that he did there, but there's still a lot that needs to change about the expectations there on a day-to-day basis. And I would think that John would lean towards hiring somebody from the NFL side who has experience with pro players, as opposed to putting a college coach like a Matt Campbell or a Lincoln Riley through a crash course in managing NFL players who, with their different motivations and different skill sets, are going to be very different to coach than, you know, the kids at Oklahoma.
So bottom line this, the Browns' record is not that great, although it's better than it's been the last couple of years. I mean, in a way, it would be easy to say same old Browns. Does it feel like that to you, the same old Browns, or does it feel like there's hope here for their fans?
Well, you know, you talked to Joe Thomas and some of the guys that have been there for a while, and I think that they feel like there's a core of young players there that they haven't had in the past. There's a lot of turnover over this in this roster over the last couple of years, but the key guys, your Christian Kirksey, your rookie Denzel Ward, Miles Garrett, Joel Bitonio, J.C. Tretter, Larry Ogunjobi, they've got 7, 8, 9 guys that you could see being around there for 7, 8 years. And that's not something that they've had in the past when they've had coaching turnover. So to me, for that reason and for the fact that they feel like they have a franchise quarterback identified in Baker Mayfield, it's a very different scenario than same old Browns.
It's a great piece, great conversation. What's next, Robert? What are you working on for the MMQB? Anything in the works?
You know, I may head out to Pittsburgh, not sure, but I think I'm going to be spending the weekend home in Denver.
Nothing wrong with that. He is a friend of the program. He is a football writer for SI. Robert Klemko is my guest. Appreciate you, Robert, very much. Great job.
Thanks for having me.
Great talking to you. He's one of my favorite guys to read and talk to. Robert Klemko joining us. All right, so we're open the rest of the way. Browns fans, does it feel different to you? Are you optimistic? Who would you like to see as the next head coach? Or does it feel like the same old thing? 1-800-636-8686. Let me change up. Talk some baseball. Mets baseball. Also, Nathan Peterman, the old GoFundMe page. Bills Mafia. Bills Mafia. You know, I'm about you. I like you. I respect you. I want good things to happen to you. When the Buffalo Bills are good, it's so much better for the NFL. I'm not here to crack back on you. But you got to do better than the old GoFundMe so you can retire page. It's not even fun anymore. There's no sport in killing Nate Peterman. It really isn't his fault. They keep running him out there. What's he supposed to say? No, I'm not going to play. No, I don't want to be a starter. No, I don't want to play in the NFL. It's not Nate Pete's fault that he's Nate Pete. It's the fault of the people that he works for bringing him in, letting him stay, and continuing to run him out there. Eric Schindler tweets, can somebody please let Hawk know that he should be less worried about the bugs in the wall and more concerned about the fuzzy caterpillar on his upper lip? That thing looks like it's ready to evict him from his own face. It's good. Like that thing's going to go to war with the man. Like that fuzzy caterpillar on his lip is going to battle City Hall to evict him from his face. Like that fuzzy caterpillar on his lip is reading quotes from Teddy Roosevelt. Listen, it's a ridiculous look, and I don't need guys working for me with porn stashes, but personal appearances are not show fodder, even as they relate to staff members. All right, we're coming right back. How about a good phone call? Had a bunch of phone calls, good phone calls for Cruz Pedregon, but no good phone calls for me. Do I have to bring Cruz back to get a good phone call? 1-800-636-8686. The Glove, Gary Payton, is going to be our guest on the Jim Rome podcast. I'm hitting that hard because I'm fired up for it. That's coming up later on today. Make sure you look for it. Building pros, check this out. If you are a contractor or a builder or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner you will ever need for all of your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing and dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will help you get your flooring jobs done quickly and profitably. You might be worried about selection and availability, but you shouldn't be. Not when you consider they've got over 150 million, square feet of flooring available, over 100,000 square feet in stock in most stores. And they stock professional-grade adhesives, underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, and grout, so you can get what you need when you need it. If you're too busy to pick up that flooring, that's also not a problem. The LL Pro Plus team will deliver it right to your job. And with LL Pro Plus, you can even get a business line of credit. Put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team right now. A couple of ways to do this. You can walk right into a local Lumber Liquidator store, or you can find them online at lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This segment's brought to you by my pals, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices at excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so 1-800-636-8686. Looking for phone calls. Phone lines are jammed up. All right, so I'm not looking for phone calls. I'm looking for good phone calls. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. So it's early November, and baseball's hot stove is already heating up. Rumors about Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. There are suggestions that Cleveland might be looking to trade some players. Same with Seattle. Actually, rumors that Seattle not looking to move players, but might just burn this thing right to the ground, and they should. Except I really don't give a damn about the Mariners or what they do, and probably never will. But let's get to a team that does matter, the Mets. The Mets are a different story. The Mets are breaking in a new GM, Brody Van Wagenen. Now, if you're BVW and you recently were named the GM of the New York Mets, you've got a pretty long list of things to do. After all, you are taking over a team that lost 177 games in the last two seasons. A franchise that has fallen so hard and so fast from a World Series spot as recently as 2015. A playoff spot from 2016. It's fallen so hard, so far, so fast, they actually considered moving one or both of their elite starting pitchers in 2018. The Mets are that bad, that quickly. They're that desperate. This is a team whose only highlight for the past few years was when their mascot, a man with a gigantic baseball for a head, flipped off a fan. That's been their best highlight for the last couple of years. The only highlight as significant or meaningful as that was when this kid got loose a few years back.
Terry, show some f***ing emotion, you old ass, silly ass man. I want to punch your f***ing f*** at you, knock your f***ing teeth out. Now, who's going to be smiling? I will. Never show a smile. I mean, when you do, you're spanking the teammates at you. You're spanking Michael Conforto's f***ing sore ass. That's what you're doing. So, Terry, goodbye. Have Wally Backman come over here.
A Wally Backman blast. That kid is fierce. That kid's a freaking savage. Anyway, those are the two highlights for the Mets the last couple of years. That kid and that giant baseball head. So when you've got that GM gig, you got to find a way to start somewhere, and you've got to prioritize. And from the sounds of it, BVW has his priorities, and that includes this nugget from a tweet from show friend John Morosi, and I quote, Tim Tebow is likely to begin 2019 at AAA, but new Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen did not rule out the possibility that he could make the MLB opening day roster. Tebow has fully healed from injury, Van Wagenen said. Hey, Mets fans, how's that feel? How's that grab you? How's that feel? Probably like a kick in the junk, a blast to your package. Because any chance that you had of feeling good about your new GM had to go right out the window with that tweet from John Morosi. I mean, that better be from an episode of Morosi's favorite PBS kids mystery show, Ghost Rider, because I've got no idea what's going on with that. I mean, I've always said, anytime you get a chance to have a failed football player in his 30s on your Major League Baseball roster, you've got to do that. That's smart baseball. That's money ball right there. And you know if the Mets don't do it, somebody really smart like Dave Dombrowski is going to dump Mookie Betts just so he can get his hands on Tim Tebow. That's what all the great GMs are looking to do. Yeah, you can even make sure that you do what Atlanta did. Maybe build for the future or go out and pursue somebody in free agency the way Boston did last year or the way other teams will do this year. Or you could take a guy who's going to be 32 next season and had nearly as many strikeouts as total bases this year and then hype him up for a spot on the opening day roster. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like something that might be said by Tim Tebow's agent. Oh, wait. BVW is Tim Tebow's former agent. Yeah, now it's all starting to make sense. Now this makes sense. It's also very Mets. Hey, listen, I don't have a problem with a team hiring an agent to be its GM. Some of the best GMs in sports are guys like Bob Myers, who's a legend. Nobody's better at their job than Bob Myers is his. Rob Pelinka got Magic Johnson to come in. He got LeBron James to come in. These guys were on the other side of the desk. So it's not the issue. Hiring an agent, to me, is not the issue. I don't have a problem with that. I don't even have a problem that the Mets hired Tim Tebow's former agent. That's fine, too. The problem is that his former agent seems to think that Tebow might actually be good enough for a spot on the opening day roster. BVW, you're not selling Tebow anymore. You don't have to hype him anymore. You don't work for him anymore. I mean, that should be a good thing, right? Enjoy that. Let's go back for a second to that tweet from Morosi. It's not just that it's Tim Tebow we're talking about. It's that it's Tim Tebow coming off a broken bone in his hand, a broken bone that ended his season in July. So the guy has not played a baseball game since July, and you're already saying that he might get a spot on the opening day roster. The fact that you're taking over a team that got lapped by everybody in the NL East, not named the Marlins, and Tim Tebow is even on your brain, says an enormous amount. The fact that this team is so bad that Tim Tebow might make that roster coming off a busted hand says even more. Hey, look, he might be the best guy ever, Tebow. I mean, literally, he might be the best guy ever. But he's a failed NFLer, so I'm guessing he's not going to stick as an MLB-er. Come on. M-E-S-S. Mess, mess, mess. Come on, man. He might make the opening day roster. Have fun with that, Mets fans. You don't have 25 people in your organization better than that guy. Enjoy yourselves, Mets fans. How's that grab you? All right, time for a phone call. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Let's go to Los Angeles. Matt is in L.A. I predict that Matt's going to come on, talk some junk, compliment the suits for putting his pictures up on CBS Sports Network, and then say outro. Let's see how close I come to getting this right. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Snaglito, hey, been catching up on that RPO. Hell of a podcast, man. You and TP got it going on, man. Love the inside, you know, the insider info and all that good stuff, even though my man's on a cold streak. But now you got me hyped up, man, for this GP convo. Not so much because he balled with the Rain Man against MJ and Detlef Schrempf. Not so much because dude was a legend who came here with the 04 Lakers and they almost grabbed the fourth championship in a row when Chick Hearn passed away, rest in peace. But because I don't know if you're aware, Romy, back in the day in 90s rap, dude was a legend. Too Short name dropped him, among others. Sebo the Baldhead Nut. So what I want you to do, Pimp, is find out from our man, Gary Payton, a.k.a. The Glove, what those sessions were like, smoking big blunts with the likes of Too Short and Sebo the Cowboy the Baldhead Nut. Hey, man, good show as always. Keep on. The suits in New York get all my love, from Gardena to the east side of New York City, baby. Outro.
Outro. That was actually a really good call. You know what I'm thinking about doing, Matt? I'm thinking about not asking the Glove that, but I'm thinking about playing your audio back to the Glove. We've never done that on a podcast. So Gary Payton's going to show up a little bit later on. And we'll do that over the phones, but if he's feeling it, he's in a good way, and there's no reason why he would not be, because he's the freaking Glove, and you're not, I may just play that for him. Hey, Gary, I've never done this before, but I've got a caller, longtime listener, who hit me to ask you this. Let me get your reaction. Gary Payton, East Oakland. Been so many amazing ballers from Oakland. Dame, Jay Kidd, Brian Shaw, Bill Russell, Gary Payton, and he came up with the Rain Man. He came up with Sean Kemp, and these guys were unbelievable. And, you know, they hit it pretty hard. They ran pretty hard early on. When you're young and you've got money and you've got game and you come into a situation like that, he was drafted second overall, but he went to a good veteran Seattle Sonics team. And, of course, he was feeling good about him. It's the Glove. Can't wait to have that conversation. Look for that. Jim Rome podcast Wednesday, dropping later on today. At NicksHex0311 tweets, did we just find Rick in Buffalo, son? That Mets kid has got to be Rick Seed. Straight hate.
War road rage with the kids in the back seat. It's never too early to teach them not to take crap from anyone.
Oh my God, we won 2 out of 3. Big deal. This team is an absolute f***ing joke. 23-8. Syndergaard, get out of here, you little Barbie doll. Get the f*** out of here. Go get a little robotic arm, because you can't even stay 2 innings for this team without getting hurt. You f***ing idiot. It's all Ray Ramirez's fault, that f***ing mole face. Get him out of here! You got Kevin Plawecki getting absolutely rocked. I mean, you know it's bad when you can put the backup catcher in there. Like, damn, get the hell out of here and go to the minor leagues, boy. Terry, it's over for you, you little head. You little orange, you smoke. You just need to get out of here, because I'm not liking what I'm seeing from this team. 23-8, Terry. Better wake this team up.
I don't think there's anybody anywhere who cares as much about anything as that kid cared about the Mets. And I'm trying to think of the most profane person I know. I'll tell you a guy who gets loose. And I have as much respect for this guy as anybody I watch or read. And he was on our podcast. And you should go back and listen to it. David Goggins. David Goggins is about the toughest guy I've ever seen. My man, the late Richard Mackowitz, was the toughest person I've ever known personally. Goggins is incredible. Goggins can F-bomb like nobody's business. And he doesn't do it gratuitously either. He does it for emphasis. Yeah, I don't know where he come out on that. But even he doesn't F-bomb like that kid does. Goggins is amazing. He's got a book coming out. I got to bring him back. I don't think we've doubled up yet on anybody for the podcast. And people do that. We have not done that. David Goggins might be the first guy I double up on. I have profound respect for him. Look him up. Look him up on Instagram or Twitter, but not if you're adverse to profanity. My man is fierce. No, I don't think that kid is Rick in Buffalo's son. I don't know how Rick is raising his kids. But if they're anything like their old man, they will be violent and angry and quick to give somebody the hands and call people lots of names. I'm aware of this story. Dennis Hoff. I understand that he passed away. I understand that he was also elected posthumously. I understand that when he passed away, Ron Jeremy found him. I understand that he owned lots of brothels and Ron Jeremy found him. I know, clones. As always, just because I'm not talking about something does not mean I haven't seen it. It means I don't want to talk about it.
Hi, Dan Lesk. Ron Jeremy, coach of the Miami Heat. You're watching Jim Rome is Burning.
You like that, don't you, Hawk? That is absolutely incredible. All right, so that goes back to back in the day when I did Jim Rome is Burning for ESPN. We used to kind of mock Stan Van Gundy for looking like Ron Jeremy, which he does. So somebody, one of the camera crews, our crew, found Ron Jeremy and had him do that or asked him what he thought about that. And Ron Jeremy obviously thought that was pretty funny and had no issue saying that he coached the Orlando Magic.
Hi, this is Ron Jeremy, coach of the Miami Heat. You're watching Jim Rome is Burning.
Trust me, that was not Stan Van Gundy pretending to be Ron Jeremy. That was Ron Jeremy pretending to be Stan Van Gundy.
When they compared me to Stan Van Gundy, immediately his stomach and his schmeckle grew a few feet. And if he's not Jewish, he's entitled to a couple of 100 years of retroactive suffering.
Hawk is sitting there with his porn stash in utter shock and glee. Hawk just hit me with, quote, that is the greatest thing I have ever heard. Like I always say, this is a damn good show now. This is a damn good show now, but not as good as it used to be. That was right smack dab in the middle of ESPN programming, in the middle of the day, back in the day, and not that long ago. I'm trying to think if there's any other adult film stars that have worked their way into the lexicon. Jenna Jameson did tweet at me last year. think she tweeted that she loved me, right? That's cool. Jenna Jameson, Ron Jeremy. I think that's it. Dirk Diggler. All right, then. We are coming right back. Middle of the day. You got to be careful. You know, Vance Mack, push it, but don't push it too far. Got really bad news for all of you Money May fans who are all fired up about Floyd Mayweather fighting a professional kickboxer. That fight, which was just announced, has already been called off. He is not going to fight Tenshin Nasukawa. Much to the chagrin, I'm sure, of Conor McGregor, who even for McGregor had an over-the-line all-time Instagram post in response to it. Conor's social game is just out of control. It's crazy. This particular post had 1.7 million likes, and it's over the line. Like, way over the line. Like, I can't even read it here. So never mind that Habib just choked him out. Never mind that Floyd beat him. Conor, he didn't slow down at all. His social game is still the stuff of legend. But over the line. ATP, the Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We do this on Wednesdays. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Today's question is from Tony in Iowa City. Jim, we all know that Jake is focused on choosing a college to attend. What about Logan? Is he thinking about college at all? If so, would you be willing to send him to the University of Iowa? Unwar Jake going to Wisconsin, one of Iowa's biggest rivals. All right, that's actually a multi-layered question. Is he thinking about college at all? The kid's not even thinking about high school, and he's attending that next year. So no, college is the last thing on Logan's mind. In fact, I'm not even sure he wants to go to college. See, I'm different. Like, the way I was brought up from my family, and nothing against people like Hawk or those of you who did not go. It never dawned on me that I had a choice. Like, you're going to college. You don't have to go to Harvard. You don't have to go to Stanford. You have to go to college. You have to go to college. Like, I thought they put you in jail if you didn't go to college. Logan, though, man, different kid. I'm not sure. I found out last night he's got a girlfriend. I didn't know that. Luckily, there's a little snitch in the neighborhood. And whenever Logan gets a girlfriend, he won't tell us. But there's a little snitch that he's friends with down the street, a female. Great little gal, very smart, who tells us. It works its way back to us. So I hit him last night with, hey, Logs. Hey, Pops. You got yourself a lady again? So not thinking about college. Has himself a new girlfriend that I didn't know about. Would I consider letting him go to Iowa? Yeah. Yeah, I would. I mean, they paint their locker room pink. Yeah, I would. I don't let personal beefs or bad relationships interfere with what's best for my kid. If Iowa, the University of Iowa, is best for my son and he wants to go there and there's a program there that makes sense for him, yes, I would let him do that. His mother may not be too pleased with two kids going out of state. For instance, Jake has already made it clear I'm not staying home. I'm going to bust out of here. He hit me the other night with, hey, Dad, no offense, but I'm going to get the hell out of here. I said, I could see where you'd feel that way, son. It's been a pretty tough upper-middle-class upbringing in the mean streets of Orange County, hasn't it? I could see where you'd want to bust the hell out of here. You know, you got yourself a car. You've got a trainer in the gym. A tutor now and then. Yeah, I could see where you'd want to bust the hell out. You do that, son. I'm not stopping you either. Go as far as you want. Mama, on the other hand, not as thrilled. Now, we're not worried about Logan for college because Logan's not thinking about high school, where academically he will get his ass kicked if he doesn't get his head straight.
Rogan Loam.
He's smart, too, man. That kid's clever. And he came this close to coming in for a sit-down on the show for the Box of Chaos. And Rogan Loam, although he's kind of backed off this because he's into other things now, like the ladies, his phone, Fortnite. He's no longer pushing me every night to bring back the Rat Family. There is your ATP. You can ask me any personal questions you want. Rogan Loam's mother, Janet Loam, is still in Wisconsin. But en route, she's coming back home. All right, so it's been a brutal year for the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, injured. Derek Anderson, concussed. Vontae Davis said bleep this and quit at halftime 2 months ago. Sex toys flying into the end zone more frequently than TD passes. And they're on a four-game losing streak. And they're dead last in the East. Oh, and Nathan Peterman is their starting quarterback. Of all the things that have gone wrong in Buffalo, probably nothing is worse than that. Nate freaking Pete is their starting quarterback. But understand, I'm not here to pile on. I said this earlier this week. Bagging on this guy is not even fun anymore. It's not good sport. It's not fair. It's actually wrong and sad. And for everyone who's so furious that he keeps getting run out there when he's got no business being within 100 miles of an NFL stadium as anything other than a fan, take that up with the coach or the GM or the owner. What is Nate Pete supposed to do? Say no? They give him the rock. He throws the rock. Granted, he throws the rock to the wrong team almost every single time he lets it go. But that's who he is. They know that. He shouldn't have to apologize for being exactly who he is. The team that employs him, that keeps putting him in these situations, are the ones who are at fault, not him. Yes, he's got 12 interceptions in four career games started. Yes, he throws a pick once every 10 attempts. Yes, his QBR this season is 6.5. And no, I've got no idea how that's even possible. But I know this, it keeps happening and it's not his fault. This guy clearly was put on this earth to throw the football to the other team. He was born to throw interceptions. How can you hold that against him? Again, your issue should not be with Nate Pete. It's with the people who keep letting him onto the field and placing him under center. But it has not stopped the Bills Mafia from directing their anger and frustration at the wrong guy. 2 days ago, somebody in the Mafia did what you do. When you're lame and you're unoriginal in 2018, you start a GoFundMe page. For those who are familiar with or unfamiliar with GoFundMe, it's essentially a website that allows you to raise money for anything through online donations for your cause. And it can be anything on the internet. It can be used for good, bad, and stupid. And this is pretty stupid. The title of this GoFundMe campaign is Nathan Peterman Retire Please. The description is as follows. Nathan Peterman, we understand your passion to play football, and especially in the NFL, but please, for the love of God, retire and leave and never come back. We will give you money. Just leave. End quote. And it'd be so much easier for Rick in Buffalo just to call this show and just say what he has to say. But as is the case with every GoFundMe, there is a monetary amount that is set as a fundraising goal. If the amount is not reached, the donations get refunded to whoever was dumb enough to participate. The monetary goal here for the Get Nate Pete to Retire, $1 million. Never mind that the guy stands to make more than that if he does play his contract out, but let's not let the math get in the way of a dumb, dumb thing.
Well, you do the math, I'm doing the Alfredo.
So you're probably wondering, they hate this guy, right? The Bills Mafia is rabid. They're pissed off. They hate Nate Pete. How close are they to that $1 million goal? After 48 hours, $147. Says here, they're not going to get there. Ran out of time. Thought I could get that in. Huge call brought to you by Zipa. If you are snoring, it is disrespectful. It's offensive. You need to stop right this second. Get a Zipa now. Make everybody happy. Zipa, 100% guaranteed to work. ZYPPAH.com. It's Happy Z spelled backwards. Zipa.com. My thanks to Cruz Pedregon, who made it in studio. Look for him this weekend in Pomona. He's inviting you clones out. Terry Stotts, Robert Klemko, Gary Payton with the Jim Rohn podcast coming up a little bit later on today. Look for that. See you then. We're out.